The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is based on the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 10. Say to those who are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. He is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. And the haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. In these beautiful words, Isaiah is looking into the future of the people of God. God gives him a glimpse of some remarkable and beautiful things about judgment for the enemy and deliverance for the people of God. Many of the prophecies that God gave to his people have this as a setting. Deliverance. One of the outstanding events in the history of God's people was their deliverance from slavery in the land of Egypt. Under Moses, God led them out, freed them, and brought them through the wilderness wanderings into the promised land. So, deliverance was a kind of key word to the people of God. Many of the prophets continued to repeat it and re-explained the deliverance God would bring to his people. Let us consider the return of the ransom of the Lord. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, God's exiles will return. The prophecies often have an immediate application to a historical event in the life of God's people. Here in this chapter, Isaiah is describing in prophetic terms and in poetic language from nature that wonderful event that would take place when God would come to his fearful people in bondage, deliver them, and bring them back again so that the ransomed people of God could return once more to Mount Zion. The people of God would fall on evil days. Their enemies would triumph over them. They would be carried away into a strange land, away from home, away from the temple. In their time of great distress, they would call upon their Lord God and would lay hold and cling to the gracious promises, such as this which Isaiah was giving them. And there would come a day when God, in his goodness, would bring the ransomed people of God back again from captivity, and they would walk the highway of God back to Mount Zion, where they would no longer be in fear and distress. All the chapters that lead up to this in Isaiah's prophecy seem to be climaxed in this beautiful 35th chapter. It ends the first part of Isaiah's book. But in this prophecy we see not just a historical application to the people of God of the Old Testament. Isaiah's vision goes way beyond that. He looks beyond the historical event into the future. He sees the fulfillment of the rich and gracious promises of God of deliverance, full and final spiritual deliverance for his people. Just as deliverance, even in a physical sense, even as the exodus from the land of Egypt, or as the return from the Babylonian captivity, meant a great deal for the people of God of the Old Testament, so likewise, the deliverance from the bondage of sin and death and the power of the devil, the deliverance from the spiritual chains that bound the people of God, was looked forward to with great longing and anticipation. When Jesus Christ came into the world to be the Saviour of man, the deliverance was accomplished. This too was in Isaiah's gaze as he looked into the future. Jesus delivers God's people. Now let us listen to some of these phrases again and think of them in the light of the life and ministry, the suffering and death and resurrection, all the things that Christ did here in this world. Through his life and suffering and death and resurrection, he delivered and gathered the people of God and established his church, his kingdom, the continuation of the people of God of the Old Testament. Jesus, in his fulfillment, took this very promise and applied it to himself. Listen, say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not despair. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. God's kingdom established. The establishment of the kingdom was in the eyes of Isaiah. By inspiration of God, he was led to see the joyful day when God would send the Messiah into the world. Jesus, the Saviour, the Word made flesh, would work out the redemption and salvation of the world. Jesus, the Saviour, would restore sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. The lame would walk again. The dumb would be able to speak. All these great, tremendous things would take place in the ministry of our Lord, and his compassion would reach out to men. The water of life, which is Jesus himself, would bring drink to the thirsting and parched throats of men. He who is the bread of life would stifle and still all pangs of hunger and satisfy all of the desire in men for spiritual food. He would be the answer to men's needs, and all the wants and desires of the human soul would be met in Jesus Christ our Saviour. And Isaiah saw this in prophecy. He saw the establishment of this great and beautiful kingdom of those who through faith had become God's own, the people of God, God's own chosen one, the ransomed of the Lord. The kingdom is made up of those for whom Jesus Christ paid the ransom price, going to the cross, dying on that cross, suffering the penalty and the punishment of all men's sins. Deliverance, final and full deliverance from God to men through Jesus Christ. Secondly, the eternal deliverance. But there is even more in the prophecy of Isaiah. The picture goes beyond the establishment of the kingdom of Jesus and looks to the very end of time, when finally the redeemed and ransomed of the Lord, who have been strangers and pilgrims journeying down the King's highway, will return to Mount Zion. Isaiah sees that God's people, travelling the holy way, always going toward the eternal goal, will find all the dreariness and dryness, all the thirsty ground of life in this world, suddenly spring forth with growth and life and flowers and beauty and joy. Then the sorrow and sighing of life in this world will be all over, and the eternal and endless joy of God will begin. God's people will be with God. He will be the light and the warmth and the beauty of the place where God's people have come from. Listen again with this in mind to the words of Isaiah. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveller, not even fool, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What a blessed deliverance! The people of God walking their pilgrimage, walking the King's highway, the people of God coming home, looking forward with joy to the establishment of the eternal kingdom of his blessedness. Sorrow and sighing indeed shall be no more. Christians are on this pilgrimage. You and I are among the ransomed of the Lord. We are the ransomed of the Lord because God, through his grace and power of his Holy Spirit, has led us to see in Jesus the Saviour of our souls, the substitute who ransomed us. You and I are God's children, the people of God, because through our faith and trust in him, we have accepted his deliverance. You and I stand in the same relationship with God as did Isaiah and the people of his day. They were in a relationship of faith and trust and confidence in the promises of God. We are in a relationship of faith and trust and confidence in the fulfillment of those promises in Jesus Christ. Into your life and mine, God's Spirit has come. Through our faith and trust in Jesus, he has opened our eyes. We are no longer blinded by sin to the truths of God. Our ears have been unstopped. We hear the gracious words of God, and those beautiful promises that come from the Master's lips sink deep into our minds. We don't only hear them with our ears, we hear them with our hearts and cling to them in faith. We are no longer crippled and lame in the service of God and unable to do what pleases him. With his strength and power, he has come into our hearts, and we are able to leap in his service. With joy and great devotion, we yield ourselves completely to God. Our lips have also been unsealed. We can now speak the praises of Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. We can speak his beautiful gospel to all people. We can tell of his love. We can show people day by day that we who are the ransomed of God live God-like lives. We walk the way of holiness and righteousness, the King's highway, which ultimately leads to the King's palace. And as we have God's gracious promises to guide and lead us. He promises that our enemies, the wild beasts of evil that seek to get us away from God, shall not come near us. In the strength and power of faith that lays hold on God and grasps the hand of the Redeemer, the Saviour himself, we walk the pilgrimage going home to God. We know that we are always strangers and pilgrims here in a strange land, always looking ahead, always living for that day when the Saviour will take us through death to be with him in eternal life. So thirdly, today is important. Yet Christianity is not just a beyond this world thing. We would be impractical and unrealistic if we thought that the now was not important. If we just sat idly by and dreamt fondly of the day when we shall be delivered from all the perplexities and fears of life, if we just dwelt upon the day when in his goodness God would give us everlasting joy, we would really miss the true comfort and peace of the life with God. Realistically and practically, we need to face the sorrows and signs of life. We need to live today. Yet to tomorrow, the eternity of God influences and affects the way we live today. Note that Isaiah called the King's highway the holy way. It is not a bed of ease or a road of self-indulgence, nor is it always the road of peace. It is a road of righteousness, of serving God, of living the Christian life, of loving God and serving him and our fellow men. It is not a road that is immune to any hardship or trial or difficulty, but the deliverance of God, the ransom of the Saviour, and the promise of the tomorrow make it the road of faith, of hope, and of confidence. In faith, God holds our hand as we go as strangers and pilgrims in this world, heading home to be with him. The day that is to come, when we shall be God's own in heaven, influences and affects the now. We think of today, but eternity affects the way we think of today. The way you and I live in this 21st century is affected by the fact that you and I know who we are, strangers and pilgrims in a strange land. We know the gracious promises of God, that his power and strength will be here to sustain us as we walk our pilgrimage through life, heading for the home which God has in store for us. Courage for the now. This is why Isaiah's prophecy is so comforting to us today. It is thrillingly beautiful. It sets our feet in a large place and places us on the way. We are the ransomed, the redeemed people of God. Walk his way, the holy way. Isaiah talks of today, not only in some distant time when God will bring the end of the world. Isaiah talks to you today, to your now in life. And he says it so beautifully. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come and save you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.